11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him.
Yes.
Yes. Every time you see him, you need to worship him.
Amen.
When you're driving down the road, you need to stop. Take a few seconds. If you have to, pull off the road and worship him when you see that electrical storm in the sky. Worship him when you see that sunrise. You need to give him the glory. Do his name. You need to let him know you understand and you see the hand of God in creation. Whenever your conscience bothers you and you realize how great it is that God still allows us to have guilt. Guilt is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Guilt is to the soul what pain is to the flesh. You'd destroy yourself if you didn't have pain. You be thankful you can feel. You can sense when you're not right with God. It is still the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. He didn't have to give you a place to repent. He didn't have to let me have a place to get out of that hell. But he sought us out. He's a good God. And he's a big God. And he's leaned himself. And the Bible said they worshiped him when they saw him. But some doubted. I want to try to erase some of the doubt tonight. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Do you doubt that? There is no person, place, king, supreme court. There is no power in this earth that can say what Jesus says is wrong. And there's no one that has authority to tell you you cannot do what Jesus says do. There's no greater authority than Jesus in heaven, on earth, or in hell. All authority in heaven and earth, it's his. The demons recognized it. When Jesus walked into the synagogues, they would come out of the closets and come out of people. I've seen them do it in India. I've seen them do it in Brazil. I've seen them do it in the Philippines. They'll come out of the closet. We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. They recognize the name Jesus in any language. They know who you're talking about. Now I know there's demons named Jesus and all that, but you talk about the Jesus of this Bible, the demons know. And the Bible, so he says, all authority given unto me, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. If Jesus said to do it that way, and he has all authority, what gives you the right to do anything contrary to what he just said? I believe in Jesus, but do you believe doing what he said? When you said, well, I baptize in the name of the Lord, how did the Lord say to do it? This is authority. He said, do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You do it in the name of Jesus. How did Jesus say do it? He said, do it this way. And so I don't believe the apostles violated they heard it out of his own mouth. And so all authority. So that ought to get you right with God right there. That's who you and I are dealing with tonight. He's the one that searches the heart. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows why you're here. And Brother Hibner, exactly right. Everything about God is about intents of the heart. He desires truth in the inward part. He doesn't care what you say. He wants to make sure you mean what you say.
Right.
He knows why we say what we do. Repentance has to do with the why you change your mind. Because God repented. And why? Because he was grieved at heart over people's sin. He's not a man that he should repent of his own sin. He don't have any of his own. But he repents over our sins. Grieved him at his heart. From Genesis to Revelation, that's how that word should be used. But he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You mean Jesus commands people? We're not under law, we're under grace. Well, who wrote the law? Paul said, being not without law to God. No man is without law to God. But we're not under the judgment of that law. Which law are you're not under anymore? The law of gravity? I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Grace demands far more than the law ever demanded. See, everything about Christianity is a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural life. It can only be lived by supernatural means. Everything He requires of us is beyond our ability.
Yes.
So we have to have the personal power of the Holy Spirit of God residing in our soul and taking control of our life so that we can do what He commanded us to do. Let all bitterness and all wrath and all malice be put away with you with all guile. Well, that's supernatural right there. Every time I get rid of it, it comes back in. I'm talking about we're dealing with God tonight. So I want jubilee. I do too. I want to talk about the Lordship of Christ. There's a lot of ways to look at it. In Psalm 47 verse 2, the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. There is no place you can get in this world or in this universe that you can go and He's not the boss. You may not like the way He runs things. I remember J. Vernon McGee, I was listening to him when I was first saved, and there was a call-in Bible question and answer time that he was doing on a Saturday at noon or something like that. And this woman just kept calling in and said, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. I just don't understand that. And I don't see why God did that. And about 5 minutes into it, she just kept complaining and griping about it. He said, shh, 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 on live radio. Shh, shh, said woman. Until you're big enough to go out and create your own universe, you just have to fall in line with what He did. Most people in this world, I've been all over this world by the good grace of God and the kindness of God's people. Most people in this world do not worship the God of this Bible. Most people in this world do not worship the devil. Most people in this world worship an image they see in the mirror every day. We're our own lawgiver. We're our own God. We decide what's right and wrong. We decide what we can and can't do. We decide what we can and can't wear. And He's our Heavenly Father. He has absolute authority in our life. It's not bad. Hey, that's great being a child of God, but it's not bad being a slave. I am under Him. He is absolutely obligated to take care of everything I need to do to serve Him. It's a wonderful thing. In 1850, it cost about $1,200 to buy a 12-year-old slave. I'm against slavery. But in today's money, that would be about $35,000. Men generally took care of something that you invest $35,000 in. Farmer go out and buy you a tractor for $35,000, you didn't take a bat and beat the headlights in. God spent a lot of money to buy us to get us to serve Him. He's not going to mistreat us. He's not going to shove us off a cliff. He's not going to tell us to jump off a building. Do thyself no harm because He spent a lot on us. You're of great value to Him. So how much am I worth? Take a real good look at Calvary. The Lord that created this heaven is the only one rich enough to create a world that we live in, lose it, and buy it back. He bought it back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of all that you are. He's the Lord. He's the absolute Lord of everything that you have. The air you breathe is His. The water you drink is His. The grass that you feed your cow is His. He's the Lord. He's absolute. He has no challengers. Well, what about the devil? The devil is just a tool. God just uses the devil to reveal the hearts of people. When He's done with it, He'll be in the lake of fire. Satan doesn't stand a chance against God. And neither do you. God is a great God and He's a gentle God. If He just moved too hard, He'd crush us. You better fall on that stone. You don't want Him to fall on you. He'll grind you to powder. Now that's who you need to save you. I talked to a man the other day in the prison and he said, Well, I need to get saved. I said, so I led him to the Lord. You know, the simple little plan of salvation. Because he was talking about all the things he done. And when we got through, I said, no, did you get saved? Did the Lord save you? And he said, well, I don't really know because I've always believed in Jesus. And I said, well, we got to start all over. I've taken people through from Genesis to Revelation 3 or 4 times, and finally, you know when the light comes on. You can see it come on in their heart. You can see the countenance on their face when they realize they're without excuse, worthy of death, guilty before a thrice holy God. And they say, what am I going to do about it? How can I escape so great? Somebody says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and all they do is give the good news. Wait a minute. The Apostle Paul was given that in the book of Romans. Before you can get the good news, you've got to understand the bad news. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Gives you 2 chapters of bad news. You're sinning against Almighty God, and your religion is a stench in His nostrils. Chapter 2 is your religious service. Get over and you have to come to a place where you admit you're guilty before a thrice holy God. And then conclude that a man must be justified by faith. Without the deeds of the law. See, you can keep the law for one day maybe. But Paul said you had to do it continually. Once you've lied, you're a liar. You can't take it back. You've done it. You've got to be absolutely perfect to go to heaven. Because nothing that defileth shall enter into that city. And I'm not looking around. I don't see anybody here qualified to get in. If God doesn't do something, we're all going to go to hell. And rightfully so. But God commended His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's a great King. He's a great King of all the earth. Psalm 68:24. They have seen Thy coming, O God, even the goings of my God, my King in the sanctuary. Thank God for the presence of the Lord. You come to the house of God, you better be coming for one reason. And that's to see Jesus in the midst of His people. Where 2 or 3 gathered together, there am I in the midst. But He's always in the midst when you worshiping Him His way. It's got to be in my name. 2 or 3 got to get in my name. That means by my authority. Doing it the way I said to do it. It's not just 2 or 3 people getting together. So we're having a jubilee under the authority of the name of Jesus through a local independent Baptist church. So God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. For the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel. Demons recognized Him. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all the gods. People in India are quick. You explain to how good Jesus is, they're quick to set Him on the shelf with the rest of their gods. Well, I'm willing to trust Jesus. Where could I find a statue? I said, He's not a statue. He's a living God. God wanted men to understand Him so much that He's not just the bully of the Old Testament. The same God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He said they're just not understanding. So I'm going to become a man. I'm going to walk in the midst of them. And His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And great is the mystery of God. God was manifest in the flesh. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of God. God came down so we could touch Him. So we could feel Him. So we can sense Him and understand that He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. For He allowed Himself to be tempted in all areas of life like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, I thought He was impeccable. I thought He couldn't be tempted. He doesn't have an old nature and all that. But the temptation was real. 1946, when the battleship Missouri sailed back in to San Francisco, a man had lost 2 of his sons on that ship. And he had gone into a kind of a rage and a went berserk, and the father went down to the docks to meet that ship. And while they're cheering and hailing it and appreciating the fact that this ship was where the Japanese surrendered and MacArthur received the absolute surrender of Japan upon the deck of that ship, he had lost two of his sons during the war on that ship. So he took his three guns from home. And he hid among the boxes and the cargo along the docks. And when that battleship came in, 18-inch guns, 12-inch thick walls on above the hull, above the waterline, he attacked that ship with an absolute rage. Shot fire, bullet after bullet, round after round, and nobody knew. Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. It was a real attack. But he didn't stand a chance. Jesus in me cannot be tempted. You and I will walk with Him. It's His very presence and our awareness of His presence in our life that gives us the power and ability to overcome sin. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Victory isn't, well, I didn't do it. I thought about doing it, but I didn't do it. Victory is when you don't even think about it. Because grace demands more than the Old Testament. The Old Testament said, thou shalt not covet. New Testament says, labor with your hands, that which is right, that you may have to give to him that hath not. So, it's not don't steal anymore. It's work! The Old Testament said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even think about it. Don't even look at it. Whosoever even look at it. So, grace demands far more than the law. It'd be easier to go back under the law. But we couldn't even make that work. I want to talk about His Lordship. I don't know. If He's the Lord, He's the ruler. John 13:13 says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." Anyone doubt that? He's the absolute master of the wind. He's the absolute master of disease and demons. He's the absolute master of the storm. He's the master that cared enough to save my soul. The Lordship of Christ. If he's the Lord, then he's a ruler. That means He has absolute authority. He saved us so that we would no longer live unto ourselves, but unto Him. He did not save us to set us free to do our own thing. He set us free from our sins and free to serve Him and free to defeat the devil and free to live in heaven and free one day to have a glorified body. He set us free for Him. Prayer is God's gift to us, not to pray for what we need, what I want. Give me. You'll wait, you'll pray a long time before God will help you build your kingdom. He gave us prayer to help us build His Son's kingdom. And anything you want to ask, anything you need that's going to help you serve God and help you build a church, and help, He'll give it to you. Because He's interested in building His Son's kingdom. The Lordship of Christ. He's the ruler. And if He's the ruler, He's got a realm. He said in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, God sent preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You can't make Him that. He is. And He's who you have to deal with. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I agree with Pastor Nichols. You cannot deny His Lordship. But you need the Lord to be your Savior. Why would you ask Jesus to save you if you didn't believe He rose from the grave? If you didn't believe He was God the Son? If you didn't believe He had the power to forgive sin? If you didn't believe that He could take you to heaven? Why, if you didn't believe He was the Lord, why would you ask Him to be your Savior? Then you get saved and you spend the rest of your life learning how to submit yourself to the loving Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not that you surrender. You just know who He is. You can't deny who He is. But you learn more and more about Him as you grow. And in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus. And it's always Lord first, then Savior. And so, the ruler, the realm, the reasoning. Romans 14:9. For unto this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. When people die and go to hell, they still have a Lord. And He is a righteous God, and He, though hand join in hand, He will in no wise acquit the wicked. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no linger? No, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save it. Thou alone. And when you come to the Lord, then you'll appreciate the Saviorship. He didn't have to save us. He could have created a whole new race of people. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, how lost do you have to be? Just lost. Just lost. How much do you have to repent? You just repent. How much do you have to believe? You just believe in Jesus. You believe Him, and you believe in Him, and you believe on Him, and you live on Him. The reasoning is, He's Lord both of the dead and the living. Can a man be saved that denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Cannot be. Because he must believe in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That Lordship is absolutely essential to his Saviorship. But please, repentance is absolutely required. It's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But do not make repentance reformation. It's God's ability to recreate us and regenerate us and put a new man inside of us and conform us to the image of Christ. We just have to yield to Him as He does that work after we get saved. In 1 Corinthians or Philippians chapter 2, it says the responsibility of that Lordship, and that every tongue should confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When's the last time you did that publicly? He's a great King. He's absolute Lord of all of His realm. The angels, without question. This whole ministry, the angels kept trying to interfere. Come on, let me help. Get back. Down, boys, down. I got this. He went right to the heart, the headquarters of Satan. The Bible says that Gadarene demoniac, it said the devil driveth him into the wilderness. Guess what the first place the Holy Ghost drave Jesus after He was baptized? Drave Him right into the wilderness. Jesus went where that gathering demoniac had been driven. He'll go anywhere you've ever been. When you can't get to Him, He'll come to you. He's the Lord. Who can tell Him no? Who can say no? No, you can't go there. He can't get into this jail. I've got news for you. I get there and He's already been there. Anywhere the Rock of Ages guy went, the Holy Ghost went before him, went with him, and lingered after him. You're not going to limit this guy. This God, Jesus Christ, limited himself to time and space, but he's not limited now. And he sent the Holy Ghost, who the world cannot receive. Lambano, the same word. They can't lay hands on him like he could Jesus. I'm going to send you a comforter the world can't get their hands on. They can't stop him. Yeah, they can stop you and me. Oh, where am I going with this? I have no clue. But they will have a responsibility to his lordship. That's confess it. Well, what are you going to do with it? Don't deny it. He said, confess me before men or deny me before. So deny is the opposite of confess. And so you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And you bow the knee. That's important. If you are not physically able to bow your knee, then just lean over on your staff like Jacob did and worship. Worship. Give him his worth. Give him who he is. Acknowledge who he is. And say, I bow my heart. I bow my head. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're among friends and you're among people that know what it's like to go to the house of God and not be saved. And thank God somebody told us the truth and the Holy Spirit wooed us and said, come to me, come to me, come to me. Draw near to me. Because I left heaven for you. He has the reckoning. Romans 10:17. Therefore faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't know anything about Jesus unless you got it out of here. A Jehovah Witness Jesus cannot save you. A Mormon Jesus cannot save you. If that's your concept of Jesus, when you call on him, they can't help you. It must be the Jesus of this Bible, the virgin born, Son of God. I'm going to have to skip 4 points. Identifying his lordship. Very quickly, I think it was it's in Lockridge that said this. But 4 kinds of people in relationship to his lordship. There are those people in this world that do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they do not do what he says. Then there's a second group of people that say, Jesus Christ is not the Lord, but they do the things that he says. There's a third group that says, Jesus Christ is Lord, but they do not do the things that he says. And that hard to find that elusive group that both call Jesus Christ Lord and do the things that he says. And it was Jesus that said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Woman, believe me, the hour has come, and now is. And men should not worship in this mountain only. But if you're going to worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth. The Lord, He has a realm. The impact of His lordship is salvation. When you bow your heart, you come as a sinner. You come as a failed saint. And you bow before that throne. I think it was the last time I was here we talked about there was somebody else here tonight, and we all always have to remember there's someone else on the throne tonight. Jesus is here and He's listening to all of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart. He knows all that stuff. And He's here and He's receiving our worship. He's seated. High and lifted up. And He's listening to those that did sing or didn't sing. He knows where you'd rather be. He knows where your heart really is. He knows the why, Brother Hitler. He understands these things. And He's here. And sometimes, He's the person we need to get to. You can't come to the brothers and sisters and be helped. You got to get to Christ. I can't save anybody. Since I can't save them, I never tell somebody if they are saved. They tell me. They can't get saved on my faith. They can do it exactly the way I did. And I got saved. But they can do it exactly the same way I did, but I don't know their heart. I flunked my mind reading course all four times I took it. Because I was a pastor and I wanted to be able to. I pastored 25 years. I took that course four times. Never did figure out my people. We're going to have to come to Him. Sometimes we need to come at an invitation time and we need to use Him as the throne of grace. But it's the Lord you're coming to. Someone that can actually help. He can actually help our infirmities. Sometimes we need to come to an altar because there's something you need to sacrifice, something you need to give. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that's what the altar is for, a place of sacrifice, dedication, consecration. I see so few people come to the altars anymore. But sometimes you're really not coming to the altar. What you really want to do is come to the throne of grace. He'll wear whatever hat you need. Because He's a multifaceted God. He can fix anything. It doesn't matter what the question is. He's the answer. And so sometimes you just need to come just because of who He is. Sometimes you just need to come to remind yourself whose side you're really on. I'm on His side. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'd rather you cuss my mama than cuss with my Lord Jesus' name. Because if you talk about my mama, I'm going to punch your lights out. You talk about my Jesus, He'll take care of Himself. He don't need my help. I don't need to blow up no abortion clinics. I just need to stand. Our God is a man of war. And you can't whip Him. But you need to determine whose side are you on. If the devil's for something, are you for it or against it? Is the devil for public nakedness? Then I'm against it. Is the devil for lying and stealing and cheating and smoking and drinking and cussing and chewing? And is the devil for that? Then I'm against it. I had people come to my church sometimes and said, I don't understand you Baptist preachers. You're always preaching against things. Why is that? And I said, the best answer I can tell you is it's just a lot simpler. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He didn't say, now you can eat of this tree, this tree, this tree, this tree, this fruit, this fruit, this fruit, this fruit, this fruit. Just don't eat that tree. There's far more things right for us to do than there is wrong. So we just concentrate on making sure you don't do what's wrong. Because if you don't do what's wrong, then God will fill your life with the good stuff. The Lordship of Christ. Is He the Lord? Yes. Now how are you letting Him rule your life? You want to know why you're not happy? You're not real close to Him. You know who the happiest man that ever lived in this world was? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because He loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. The happiest man walking down that road to the entourage behind him, 120 people going from village to village, city to city, town to town. They'd go out to the gates and the two disciples go ahead to prepare the way of the Lord and make sure he had a place to stay and make sure the people were advertised and they knew that Jesus was coming. And they'd all watch it. All these people, sons of thunder. Well, you just crossed me, buddy. I'm going to call the fire of God down on you. Now, that's John and James. And get the big fisherman, old Peter. He's walking down there showing off his old tattoos. No. I'm against that, too. But can't help where you've been. When you get born again, use whatever you've been and wherever you've been, use it for the glory of God. Where was I? Oh, I was standing up here. The Lordship of Christ. I'm going to get diverted and get on to point six, and I haven't even got point three yet. Salvation is sensitivity. And it's submission. If you don't understand who He is, that's why none of this other stuff works. That's why you don't do all to the glory of God. That's why you don't do it with all heartily as unto the Lord. He's not the preacher. Hey, I let a preacher get in my face, and I had a mustache at one time, and I was a Fred Vault, Sand Mountain Bible Camp. A man came down to that pulpit. He got right in my face, bad breath and all, and he would just give me down the right, how wicked, how carnal, how fleshly. I said, preach it! Preach! But I kept my mustache at the time. But I want him to preach what God puts on his heart. He's not responsible for me. He's just responsible to preach. But I tell you, when I had that little baby boy, and he didn't like the fuzz on my face, I shaved it off. He didn't even ask me to. Jesus doesn't have to ask. We keep His commandments because His commandments are not grievous, but because He's the Lord, we desire to fulfill His word. Not just His commandments. I wonder what the Lord would desire of me. Jubilee will come when we start singing like He is the Lord. When we start preaching, preachers, because we're accountable to the One. Churches wouldn't have to worry about a tyrant if the preacher knew who he was standing for. The Lordship of Christ. It really is the beginning point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, it's the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord. He's a big God, a great God. It's the greatest that three-letter word, God, is the greatest immortal, eternal concept that man will never fathom. But He came down and says, touch me. You want to know what God of the Old Testament is like? Take a real good look at Jesus. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I'm done.